Most vacations are over and sitting in the sun relaxing has come to an end. It's time now to make plans to attend the Bethany 2019 Spiritual Revival Mission Conference. The theme for this year is Piercing the Darkness. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. From Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The conference begins this Sunday, September 8th through September 15th. The Reverend Alan Parr, one of Bethany's sons, will be the keynote speaker. Reverend Parr is a Bible teacher, preacher, and conference speaker, and founder of an online ministry. Check out his YouTube channel called The Beat. Other missionary participants are WYAM, Emmett and Alexia Da Silvia Fall from Senegal, Stan Meyer with Jews for Jesus, Timotheus Pope with City Kids Ministry, Abby Herity of Biblical Ministries, Mrs. Catherine Jetter, and Reverend Paul Jetter of Haiti Literacy Program, and Reverend Keith White of Killingsworth Mission. Our special musical guest is Mercy Acts International Ministries. On Saturday, September 14th at 10 a.m., there will be a spiritual warfare seminar, and at 4 p.m., the international dinner. Everyone is invited. You won't want to miss a day. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 2.
But you know, I was just kind of in awe to be at the table with this guy who's been all over the world, who knows everybody. And when we come to the majesty of God, we ought to sit down and we ought to just sometimes be in awe at the majesty of God. Jude said, to the only wise God be glory, his worth to rule, be majesty, his beauty to rule. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 in verse 3, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, check this out, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist said, I want to gaze into the beauty of the Lord. I want to gaze into the majesty of the Lord. Look at Psalm 93. Psalm 93. If you're just doing your devotion time, if you just want to gaze into the beauty of the Lord, look in Psalm 93. Let me paint this picture for you this morning. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. So as you picture God in your mind, just picture a king with all of his stately robes. And even though I know that God is a spirit and we really can't see God, I understand all that. But let's just for a minute just try to picture the majesty of God. That here he is, the finest robes are placed upon him. The flowing robes that flow from the throne and roll out the door of the sanctuary. The majesty of God. Just be in awe by the majesty. Just, you don't even have to picture a face. Just picture some stately robes. And that don't even begin to explain it, but hopefully it'll give us a picture of what the majesty of God looks like. The Lord is clothed with strength. Just picture the strongest person that you can think of. Not thinking about the person in the pulpit this morning, but the strongest person that, the strongest person that you can think of. The Bible says that he's clothed with strength, that he's holding up the world like Charles Atlas, that's the Lord. In all of his majesty, he holds the world up. He's clothed with strength. Wherefore, he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot move. Thy throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting to everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice, and the floods lift up their waves. That the ocean is so struck, the ocean is so overtaken by the majesty of God that just in your mind, picture going to the beach and just seeing the tide roll in and the tide roll out. The tide roll in, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. And the tide roll out, praise him, praise him, praise him. The tide comes in, Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. And the tide goes out forever and ever and ever. The floods praise the majesty of God. They're so overtaken by God. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves. The testimonies are sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. The majesty of God. And sometimes we just need to come into his presence and just realize what Jude realized, that God is a majestic God, that he is the one who is beauty. He is the one who is stupendous. He is the one that is grand, and there is no comparison to him. No earthly king in all of his reign of glory can compare to the God who sits on the throne. The majesty of God. The glory refers to his worth to rule. The majesty refers to his beauty to rule. And I like this right here. The dominion refers to his power to rule. Kratos, Kratos, power, power, God's power. That word Kratos means force, strength, might, especially power that is unleashed in all of his fullness. The Kratos of God. He has the power to rule. Look at Daniel chapter 2, if you would. Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, let me paint this picture for you real quick. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, he's terrified. I mean, he falls asleep. He dreams something. And he is just terrified. And so he calls his wise men in. He calls his magicians in. He calls his procrastinators in. And he tells them not only to interpret the dream, but he tells them to tell him what the dream is. And these guys said, man, what, are you crazy? Are you fell asleep and you dreamed a dream, and now you're coming and telling us to tell you what the dream was? At least if you tell us what it was, we might be able to give you the interpretation. And nobody could do it. So Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all of them. He said, we're going to wipe all of you out. Now, the sad thing about it is that there was a man included in that group that was going to get wiped out, and his name was Daniel. And so Daniel said, wait a minute, Nebi. Before you do anything rash, he said, let me go get along with God. And so Daniel goes and prays and gets along with God. And God not only gives Daniel the interpretation of the dream, but God tells Daniel what the dream was. And so he goes back and he tells Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. And so, Brother Jeff, if you'll put that other overhead up there. All right, this is Nebuchadnezzar. This is what he dreamed. This is what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. He dreamed of a great image. Well, let's go on and read the scripture. The scripture will do better than I can. In verse 31, he says here, thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form of it was terrible. The image head was of fine gold, its breast and arms of silver, and its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron, its feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest until a stone cut without hands, which smote the image at its feet that were iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then were the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. Man, God told Daniel that. That's what he said. Look, this is what the king dreamt. And so that's what Nebuchadnezzar dreamt right there. And so here we see the image. But now Daniel's most important task is to interpret the dream. What does the dream mean? And Daniel says in verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell its interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar now. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowl of heavens hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. So what is he telling Nebuchadnezzar? He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. You are that head. Now, when he said, wherever the trees grow and the birds, at that time, keep in mind, Babylon was a world power. Babylon ruled the world. There was no other kingdom that could compare to Babylon at that time. And actually, you know, many of you might have heard that Saddam Hussein, one of his goals in life was to be the next Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be Nebuchadnezzar. And the fact of the matter is that Baghdad and Iraq is right where Nebuchadnezzar was at. So, I mean, this is just like it was deja vu when Saddam Hussein was trying to come and do his thing. But Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire actually ruled the world at that time. So he says to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. So that meant Babylon was the head of gold. He said in verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of bronze, which shall bear rule. Now, you can go back and check this out in history. But world history says that the second major empire after Babylon was the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay? The third major empire, which was the brass, the legs, the thighs and belly of brass, was Greece, Alexander the Great. Now, you know the thing that's amazing? And when you get time, I don't have time to get into all this right now, but you go home and read this. Daniel is foretelling all this. None of this stuff has happened. And as a matter of fact, Daniel does it with such accuracy, and he does it with such pinpoint accuracy that many liberal scholars have gone back and said that he was not prophesying, but he was actually looking back, writing history. That's how accurate he is. So now keep in mind, Daniel is foretelling all this stuff. It's not like he's looking back and seeing it and writing about it, but he's foretelling it. And so that next major empire was Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. And then in verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and be bruised. All right, so the fourth kingdom. Now, I'm sure we got some people here that can tell. Who was that fourth kingdom? Rome. Rome. And do you know, after the fall of the Roman Empire, there really has never been another world-dominating kingdom ever since Rome fell. So Daniel gives the dream and the interpretation. We say, well, Pastor Glaze, why are you going through all that? Why did you do that? Well, all the powers that have ever been recognized as powers, look what happens. Verse 41. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of iron, for as much as thou saw the iron mixed with and miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with clay, Thou shalt mingle thyself with the seed of men, but they shall not adhere one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now here he goes on, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it was broken piece of iron, and the bronze, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. And so what is happening here? Let me show you. There's a stone that's cut from a mountain without hands. And the stone is hurled at the feet of the image. And it crushes the feet. And all the rest of the statue comes tumbling down. Well, what does that say? Christ is the stone. And he's going to put down all powers. And if you'll notice, it said, as we read earlier, the last part of verse 35, it said, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. That when the kingdom of Christ is established, that it will knock down all kingdoms. And his kingdom will be a world kingdom, and nobody will ever challenge it. So what is Jude saying? Jude is saying to him belongs all Kratos. You know, that there's not a kingdom that will ever stand and rise above his kingdom again. But his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and he will rule with power, and he will rule with strength, and he will rule with might. And God's kingdom will not be put down. Well, what does that mean to us? That means that we ought to be able to worship God as this great ruler, as this great king. And I'm going to ask Brother Jeff if he will put up that other overhead. And just think about this and meditate on this with me for a second. That his kingdom should cause us to make him the ruler of our hearts. He is a world ruler. He will rule the world. He will put all other kingdoms down. And he wants to sit on the throne of your heart. Is he ruling in your heart today? Is Christ ruling in your heart? And you know, you think about this. He has the power to rule the world. But it's up to you if he'll rule your heart. Wow. Man. If we will put Jesus as the ruler of our heart, we will have, and I'm not preaching name and claim it now, but we will have access to all the power of God. All the power that we need to do what he has called you to do. You will access to that power if he becomes the ruler in your heart. Jude says, his worth to rule, unto him be glory. His beauty to rule, unto him be majesty. His power to rule, unto him be dominion. And let me close out with this. His authority to rule. And that is his right to rule. He says, if you put that slide back up there, Brother Jeff. His authority or his exousia. You see, you can have power. And, you know, if you got power and you rule, check this out now, check this out. If you rule with power without authority, then you are just a bully. That's all you are. If you got all this power and no authority, then you are just a bully. But Jesus Christ, according to Jude, not only has the power to rule, but he has the exousia to rule. He has the power, the authority to rule. And all powers must obey his power. It was interesting. One day I was coming home, and I was going up 22, and a police car passed me by. And the police car had its sirens on, had its lights on, and I had to pull over. All the other cars around me had to pull over and stop when the police car came by. But it was very interesting. It was very interesting because up ahead was a school bus that was letting kids off. And they hadn't started letting the kids off yet. And in my mind, I said, what is this police car going to do? And you know what? As much power and authority as that police car had to make all the other cars stop alongside, that when it came to that school bus, that police car had to stop. All powers, when it comes to Jesus Christ, have to pull over on the side. It might like seem like that Saddam Hussein and that other power, wicked powers, are passing us by and we're stopping along the side to let them go. It might seem like all the issues of morality that we're dealing with today are passing us by as we stop. But there's a school bus up ahead. And his name is Jesus Christ. And all powers have to stop when they come to the school bus. Because he has the authority over all of them. He has the right and the authority. And for those of you who have your notes from last week, this didn't get up there on this copy, but for those of you who have your notes from last week, let me just say this and I'm done. Let me say this and I'm done. Look what he says. He says, both now and ever. But those of you who have your notes from last week, you see that there's a little bit more to it than that as you look at the Greek. The first is pro pantos aiones. It means that he has been glorified in the past. In the past. Those of you who have your notes now at the bottom of the page, it says kanun, and he is glorified now. Those of you who have your notes at the bottom of the page, it says kai eis pantos tu aiones, amen, and he will be glorified into the ages. He has been glorified in the past. He will be glorified now, and he will be glorified into the ages. We've seen the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, the Byzantine Age, the New Age, for some of y'all, the Old Age, and he's still ruling. He's still ruling. He's still on the throne. He's not going anywhere. It says, pro panta aones. He has been glorified in the past. Kanun and now. Kai eis pantos ton aiones. Amen. And into the future. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And that he will be glorified. He will be majestic. He will have dominion. He will have authority. He had it in the past. He has it now. And he will continue to have it into the, and aiones in the Greek is into the ages. Age after age after age after age after age. And you just keep on going. And there's no stopping to the ages. And he's glorified throughout all the ages. And then Jude closed it all off by saying, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Consider What God Wants Your Life to Be and Choose Accordingly. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.